Welcome to our deep dive, everybody, into the world of injection mold making. You know, it's something that most people probably don't think about too often, but it's actually pretty fascinating, and it's responsible for so many of the products we use every single day.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, everything from those simple little plastic toys to those really complex parts in cars and airplanes, they all start with an injection mold.
So today we're going to kind of get into the nitty-gritty of how these molds are made. Like, you know, how do you go from a simple idea to this this precision tool that can crank out, you know, thousands or even millions of identical parts?
Well, it all starts with, well, before any metal cutting happens, it really begins with understanding the product itself, right? The shape, the size, any special needs it might have.
So, like, you're not just, you know, jumping straight into making the mold. You're really thinking about the end product first.
Exactly. The very first step is something called product design analysis. Engineers really scrutinize that product design, looking for anything that could cause a problem during the molding process.
So you're like looking for trouble before it even starts.
Yeah, basically. I mean, something as simple as a sharp corner, you know, in the design, that can lead to weak spots in the final part or even prevent the plastic from flowing correctly in the mold.
Oh, I see. So it's kind of like anticipating those potential headaches down the line.
Exactly. And that's where this idea of design for manufacturability comes in. It's like,
yeah,
you have to think about how you're going to make the thing while you're designing it. And a big part of that is simulations.
Simulations?
Yeah. They do something called mold flow analysis. So they're basically doing a virtual test run, seeing how the molten plastic is going to behave inside the mold before they even build it.
So it's like a video game for engineers, but with real world consequences.
Well, yeah, you could say that. But these simulations, they're crucial for avoiding costly mistakes and delays later on. Like, imagine you're designing a dashboard for a car.
Okay, yeah, I see what you mean. That's pretty complex, lots of curves and stuff.
Exactly. Mold flow analysis will show you exactly how the plastic fills the mold, you know, any potential air traps, if the part might warp or deform when it cools, all that stuff.
So it's like tweaking and refining in the virtual world before you commit to the real deal.
Exactly. Saves a ton of time and money.
Uh-huh.
And once you've got that down, you move on to another big step, figuring out the mold structure.
Mold structure. So like how the mold is actually put together.
Yeah. This is where they decide how the mold is going to be divided into sections. Hmm. You know, yeah, the cavities, those form the outer shape of the product, and the cores, those form any internal features. And of course, you need the ejection system to actually get the finished part out of the mold.
So it's like a 3D puzzle that has to come apart flawlessly every single time.
You got it. And of course, you have to think about what material you're going to use for the mold itself.
Yeah, so it's not just one size fits all.
Definitely not. The material you pick depends on things like how complex the part is, how hot the plastic needs to be, how long you want the mold to last.
Yeah.
I mean, for simple parts, maybe a less expensive steel is fine. But if you need something that can handle high temperatures and a lot of use, you might go for a special alloy that's super durable.
So you're always kind of balancing cost and performance.
Right. And to make sure they've got that balance right, engineers do something called design verification. They review every single aspect of the design, the structure, the manufacturing process, the cost, making sure it's all feasible and that it meets the client's needs.
So like a final check before things get real?
Precisely. Once you've got that design locked in and verified, that's when you move on to the actual building of the mold, the exciting part.
All right, so we've got our blueprint. It's all meticulously planned out, checked, and double-checked. Now what? How do you actually bring that mold to life?
Well, that's where we enter the world of precision engineering. And it all begins with something called mechanical processing.
Mechanical processing. So like getting your hands dirty, finally.
You could say that. It's all about shaping those mold components. You know, the cavities, the cores, everything from blocks of metal. We're talking about milling, grinding, drilling, all with incredible accuracy.
So this is where those massive CNC machines come into play, right? The ones you see in those documentaries, like carving metal with lasers.
Exactly. CNC machines are absolutely essential in this process. They're controlled by computers, so they can translate that digital design into super precise movements. I mean, we're talking tolerances as small as a few thousandths of an inch.
Wow, that's pretty mind-blowing. Like, does even the slightest error matter at that scale?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, if something's off by even a fraction of a millimeter, it can throw everything off in the final part. Like, think about a phone case.
Okay, yeah, I use one every day.
Right. All those little snap fit features and button cutouts, those need to be perfectly aligned for the case to fit right.
It's amazing how much precision goes into something we just take for granted.
Yeah, it really is. And maintaining that precision during machining, well, it's not a walk in the park. You got to factor in things like the tools wearing down or the metal warping a bit from the heat of the process.
So it's like you're constantly battling against like the laws of physics just to keep those super tight tolerances.
Yeah, something like that. Engineers and machinists are constantly monitoring and adjusting things, using cooling systems, measuring everything super carefully. Every cut, every grind has to be perfect.
Wow. It's like a high-space ballet or something. Balancing power and precision.
I like that, a high-stakes ballet. And all that effort during the mechanical processing, it pays off. A well-machined mold will produce better parts, it'll last longer, and it'll run more efficiently, saving time and money in the long run.
So we've got the core structure of the mold down. But what about all those really intricate details, the little things that make a product unique? How do you get that level of complexity in the mold?
Ah, that's where things get really interesting. We're talking about a process called electrical discharge machining, or EDM. And that's a whole different approach to shaping metal, allowing us to create features that would be pretty much impossible with those traditional cutting tools.
Okay, now you've got me hooked. Tell me more about this EDM magic. All right, welcome back to our deep dive into the world of injection mold making. Last time, we left off talking about how you take those blocks of metal and start shaping them into the basic structure of a mold.
Right. But that's really just the beginning. I mean, there's so much more to it than just carving out the basic shape.
I was going to say, there's got to be more to the story, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. There are all these specialized techniques and, well, tricks of the trade that mold makers use to really get the most out of the mold, make it last longer, perform better, you know, all that good stuff.
So it's like they have this secret arsenal of tools and tricks up their sleeves.
Exactly. And one of those secret weapons, you could call it, is something called conformal cooling. Remember how we were talking about how important it is to control the temperature during the molding process?
Yeah, definitely. It keeps things from warping and all that.
Right. Well, conformal cooling, that takes it to a whole new level.
Okay, I'm intrigued. What is it exactly?
So imagine this. Instead of just having like those straight cooling channels running through the mold, you have a network of channels that they basically follow the contours of the part you're making.
So, like, if you're making a part that's got all these curves and weird shapes, your cooling channels would mimic those shapes.
Precisely. That way, you can ensure that every part of the mold is being cooled evenly and efficiently.
It's like a custom-designed cooling system just for that specific mold.
Exactly. And that level of control, well, it makes a huge difference in the quality of the part.
I can see how that would be beneficial. But what kind of advantages are we talking about?
Well, first off, it speeds things up. With those regular cooling channels, you gotta wait a while for the part to cool down enough before you can take it out of the mold. But with conformal cooling, the heat dissipates much faster, so you can cycle through those production runs much quicker.
So it's a win for efficiency then.
Big time. And it helps to reduce warping too. When a part cools unevenly, it tends to shrink and will kind of go wonky in unpredictable ways. But conformal cooling, it keeps everything nice and uniform, so you get those nice, accurate dimensions.
Wow. It's amazing how something as seemingly simple as changing the shape of those channels can have such a big impact.
It really is. It's all about that attention to detail, right? And speaking of details, another area where they're really pushing the envelope is in the materials they use for the molds themselves.
We talked about steel and aluminum before, but I have a feeling there's more to the story.
Oh, yeah, for sure. There are all sorts of crazy advanced materials out there that are, they're kind of changing the game when it comes to mold performance. For example, there are these alloys that can handle some seriously high temperatures and pressures.
Okay, so like heavy-duty stuff for really demanding jobs.
Exactly. And then you got also some specialized coatings they can put on the mold surface to, you know, enhance its properties. Mm. Some will reduce friction so the part comes out easier. Others make it more wear-resistant so the mold lasts longer. And some coatings, they can even give the part itself special properties like being antimicrobial or conductive.
It's like you're giving those molds superpowers or something. But even with all those advancements, I'm guessing there are still some inherent challenges in mold making.
Oh, absolutely. One of the biggest is finding that sweet spot between precision, complexity, and cost.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the more intricate the mold, the more time and specialized expertise it takes to make, which, well, you know, drives up the price.
Right. It's always that trade-off, right? Good, fast, or cheap. Pick two.
Yep, that's the one. So mold designers are always trying to find ways to optimize those designs, get the complexity and precision they need without breaking the bank.
And I bet designing those really intricate molds we were talking about, that must be a real challenge in itself.
It is. But that's where computer-aided design, or CAD, comes in, like the essential tool for mold designers these days. They can create detailed 3D models of the mold and run simulations to see how it's going to perform before they even start cutting any metal.
So like building a virtual prototype to iron out the kinks.
Exactly. With CAD software, they can try out different designs, figure out where those cooling channels should go, simulate the flow of the plastic. They can even spot potential problems like air traps or weak spots. It's like having a virtual testing lab.
That's pretty amazing. Are there any other high-tech tools being used in the design process?
Oh yeah, tons. One that's really gaining traction is 3D printing for making prototypes of the molds. This way, engineers can actually hold a physical model of their design, which is really helpful, especially for those really complex shapes.
It's like a test kitchen for mold making, then.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And 3D printing, it's getting better all the time. Higher resolution, more materials you can use. It's opening up a whole new world of possibilities, especially for making those really customized molds.
It sounds like the lines between the digital and the physical are getting pretty blurry.
They really are. And that goes for the manufacturing process, too. We talked about CNC machining, but there are other specialized techniques that are, they're pretty cutting edge.
Oh, tell me more. What else is in this mold-making toolbox?
Well, there's something called wire EDM, wire electrical discharge machining. It's kind of like the EDM we talked about earlier, but instead of using a shaped electrode, it uses a thin wire to cut through the metal. Super precise cuts, even in really hard materials.
So like a super precise laser cutter.
Yeah, that's a good way to think about it. Wire EDM, it's great for making those really intricate features like tiny gears or superfine details.
I bet that takes some serious skill.
It does. You need really skilled machinists who can program those machines and make sure everything stays within those super tight tolerances.
A good reminder that even with all this automation, human expertise still matters.
For sure. And another technique worth mentioning is ultrasonic machining. They actually use sound waves to erode the material away. It's especially good for those really hard or brittle materials.
Wait, sound waves? That's wild.
Yeah. Ultrasonic machining, it's often used for making complex cavities or those intricate details in molds for things like medical devices.
So it's like you're choosing the right tool for the job, just like a sculptor.
Exactly. The choice of which technique to use depends on what you're making, what material you're using, how precise it needs to be.
But even with the best tools and techniques, I'm guessing there are still some limits to what's physically possible.
You're right, there are. Like if you're trying to make something super small or if it has a lot of undercuts, sometimes it's just not possible. Maybe the tools can't reach or the mold itself wouldn't be strong enough.
So like trying to carve something super intricate out of a really delicate material, gotta work within the limits.
Right, and sometimes the material itself is the limiting factor.
Mm-hmm.
Some materials are just too brittle, or they don't react well to certain molding processes.
It's a constant balance then, pushing the limits, but respecting the limits at the same time.
Exactly. And that's what makes injection mold making so interesting. It's this constant back and forth between creativity and practicality.
Well, we've covered a lot of ground here, but before we move on to talking about the future of mold making, I have one more question that's been on my mind.
Go ahead.
We've talked a lot about the technical side of things, but what about the bigger picture? I mean, these molds are used to make products that are everywhere, right? So what about the social and ethical implications of all this?
That's a really important question, and it's something the industry is starting to think a lot more about these days. On the one hand, injection molding has been revolutionary. I mean, it's made it possible to make all these affordable products that, you know, make our lives better.
Yeah, absolutely. Medical devices, electronics, all that stuff wouldn't be possible without it.
Right. But then, on the other hand, you have to think about the environmental impact of all this plastic. It's a big problem.
So it's like any powerful technology, right?
Yeah.
You have to use it responsibly.
Exactly. And the industry is responding to that, I think. There's a lot more focus now on using recycled plastics and those bio-based plastics that are, you know, more sustainable.
So it's all about finding that balance.
Yeah, finding that balance between innovating and being responsible. It's about recognizing that injection molding is an amazing tool, but we have to use it wisely. Think about the long term.
Well said. I think that's a good note to end this part of the discussion on. All right, welcome back for the final part of our deep dive into injection mold making. So far, we've gone through, you know, all the planning and design, those crazy precise manufacturing techniques, and even touched on some of the bigger implications of this whole industry. But now I'm kind of curious, what's next? Where's this whole field headed?
Well, You know, the world of mold making never stands still. There's always something new on the horizon.
I bet. So what are some of those trends? What's shaping the future of this whole thing?
Well, one of the biggest things is, you know, it's all about digital technology. We've talked about CAD and 3D printing, but that's really just the beginning. It's like everything's getting smarter and more connected.
Okay, so paint me a picture here. What does that look like in the mold making world?
So imagine a mold, right? And it's got all these sensors embedded in it. They're measuring everything, temperature, pressure, how fast the plastic's flowing, even the vibrations of the mold.
Okay, so it's like the mold's got its own Fitbit or something.
Yeah, kind of like that. But all that data, it's not just going into the void. It gets sent up to the cloud where these AI algorithms analyze it, looking for patterns, you know, anything that's out of whack.
So like a digital doctor for your mold.
Exactly. And the cool thing is, it's not just monitoring. The AI can actually adjust the process on the fly. Like it can tweak the injection speed or the cooling time, whatever it needs to keep everything running smoothly and make sure the parts are, you know, top-notch quality.
That's pretty wild. It's like a self-correcting system.
Yeah, basically. And it can even help with predicting when something might break down. You know, by looking at all that historical data and the real-time performance, it can give you a heads up before anything actually goes wrong.
Oh, that would be huge. No more scrambling to fix things at the last minute.
Right. And then with the Internet of Things, you can access all that data from anywhere. So you're basically in control no matter where you are.
It's like having your finger on the pulse of the entire operation. Pretty mind-blowing stuff. But what about the molds themselves? Any exciting developments there?
Oh, tons. One area that's really heating up, no pun intended, is bio-based plastics. You know, those plastics that are made from plants and stuff rather than petroleum.
Right, because people are, you know, getting more conscious about the environment and all that.
Exactly. So there's this big demand for molds that can handle those bio-based materials. But it's not always straightforward, you know, because they often have different properties than traditional plastics.
Yeah.
So the molds have to be designed and made a bit differently.
So it's like you're constantly adapting to new ingredients.
Exactly. And then there's 3D printing. We talked about it before, but it's really starting to make waves in mold making.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. What's the latest there?
Well, imagine being able to print these super complex mold components with all those internal channels and delicate features right from a computer design. It could revolutionize the whole process.
So you're saying goodbye to all those traditional machining steps?
Well, in some cases, yeah. It can really speed things up and open up a lot of new possibilities for customization. Like, you can make a mold that's perfectly tailored to a specific product.
So it's like having a magic wand that can create any mold you can dream up.
Uh-huh. Yeah, kind of. And you can try out different designs super easily without having to spend a ton of money on tooling. It's like having your own rapid prototyping lab.
That's amazing. But 3D printing, it's not quite perfect yet, right?
True. The materials they use for 3D printing, they don't always have the same toughness and durability as the traditional mold materials. But the technology is improving all the time.
So maybe someday we'll have 3D printed molds that are just as good as the ones made the old-fashioned way.
Oh, I think that's definitely on the horizon. And it's not just about replicating what we already have. 3D printing allows you to create shapes and features that you just couldn't make before. It's a whole new world of possibilities.
It's like the future of mold making is this blend of like the digital and the physical, all this high-tech stuff, but still relying on, you know, human ingenuity and craftsmanship.
Exactly. And it's an exciting time to be a part of it. Things are moving so fast.
Yeah.
And it feels like there's no limit to what we can create.
Well, I think that's a great place to wrap things up. We've gone from those initial design stages all the way to, the future of this amazing industry. And I think it's safe to say that injection mold making, it's a lot more complex and a lot more interesting than most people probably realize.
It really is. It's a testament to human creativity and our drive to innovate.
Absolutely. And I think our listeners now have a much better understanding of, you know, all the thought and precision that goes into those everyday objects we often take for granted.
Yeah, hopefully next time they pick up a plastic product, they'll take a moment to think about the incredible journey it took to get there.
A journey that involves a lot of technology, a lot of skill,
and
maybe even a little bit of magic. So on that note, we'll bring our deep dive into the world of injection mold making to a close. Thanks for joining us.